The Open Door of Emptiness. Chapter 2. Love and Impermanence. Part 6. Relax and open. We relax and open. In the openness, many appearances arise. They are, uniquely, just this, just this, just this, and then they are gone. There is no path. There is no person. When I think, oh no, why did I do that yesterday? This is now. You cannot go to yesterday. The thought of yesterday is a perverse thought of today, a cloudy form of now, because you are thinking about something which is not here, but by your emotional identification with your thoughts about it, it is as if you have gone there, or it has come here. But the past is gone. If you've been in a relationship and it got difficult, and they vanish, they are not here. Where are you when you're thinking about them? If there is a lot of emotion linked with the thought about the absent person, you are stupefying yourself because you are here, and what is arising is a thought. Lots of them, like little white summertime clouds passing and going. Oh, but why did they leave? What did I do wrong? Maybe I need to find out. Now you have a lot of thoughts. Are they helping you? Who are you? I am a troubled, inadequate person. Thinking like this takes you into activity. So just relax. Open. From the point of view of Dzogchen, all is relaxed and open. Be with the thought and see what the thought is. When you buy a second-hand car, the seller might say, "Drive it for a week, and if you don't like it, bring it back, and I will return your money." But they give you a false address, and at the end of the week, when you take the car back, you knock on the door and no one is there. It is the same with thoughts. The thought comes in the mind. The thought tells you something about your life. I should have been more kind. I should have supported their fragile ego. That is the thought. Where is the thought? Already gone. Why would you believe a vanishing thought? You are still here. That thought has gone. But if you follow the thought, you will not have a sense of being here. This is the fundamental crossroad in life. If you stay here, everything will come to you. But if you go chasing memories and thoughts, and elaborating plans, you will be displaced. You will be on the train of thoughts. How we are in the world with other people is not something separate from the practice of sitting. We don't use sitting merely to go deep inside ourselves, because when we go into this openness is inclusive. All the people we meet are already inside the openness of the mind. If we stay with awareness, there will be plenty of thoughts. However, if we follow the thoughts, there will be very little awareness. Awareness is inclusive. It includes thoughts, feelings, sensations, and so on. But thoughts and conceptual elaborations are exclusive. They exclude awareness because they are formulated in terms of duality. I am thinking about you. I miss you. Subject, verb, object. Who is the you that I miss? That you is a concept. But now, with this concept of you, I have even more memories. How we were, all that we did. Every time you meandered down one of these little pathways of concepts, there is not space for awareness. Although, paradoxically, every little pathway of conceptualization is itself moving within the space of awareness. Because awareness is the basic space of existence. Every finite is within the infinite. But if you go into a finite moment, although this finite moment is not different from its mother ground, the infinite, it cannot show openness. Doing non-doing. This is why, again and again, when you find yourself caught up in something, identifying and fusing into a particular emotion or sense of what is happening, don't try to change it. Don't do anything at all. Just stay present with it. That may seem an odd instruction, because you have to do non-doing, which is actually very hard. You have to not do the doing, which would interrupt the non-doing. Awareness doesn't do. Conceptualizing ego does. Not doing means just letting it go. Not interfering. Not mobilizing. Some people's characters are quick to mobilization. They find their power and energy in doing something. But there is nothing to be done. This may feel very odd, and you may feel uncomfortable not knowing what is going on. That is because our sense of self is a construct which we maintain by our activity. We have to go through a transitional phase in which we relax the habitual actions which confirm our sense of who we are. We are like the caterpillar that at a certain point has to stop moving and make a cocoon. And then, after some time, out of the cocoon comes a butterfly. Our meditation is the cocooning of ourself. This is what we do. Imagine you have a little crystal hanging by a window, and in summertime a ray of light comes from the sun, goes into the crystal, and then, dancing on the wall, are rainbow colours. These colours are the potential of the clear light revealed. The movement of these vibrations together will show as clear light. And, when separated out, they show as red, green, blue, and so on. When we look at a reflection, we say, "This is red." That is a very different experience from just seeing the redness before the naming of red. Dzogchen uses the term tsal to describe both the creative energy and the display. When you are sitting in the practice, what we call thoughts, feelings, and sensations emerge. This is the showing of the potential which is revealed in this particular moment as if it were being reflected through a crystal. The empty mind has the potential to show many different forms, but In this particular moment, because of the angle of the light and all the configurations of circumstances, it brings forth these particular thoughts, sensations, and feelings. If you stay with this, what you will be experiencing is the emergence of the mind. The mind doesn't emerge as itself. Just as when the reflection shows in the mirror, this is the mirror emerging. But it's not emerging as itself, and yet it is emerging as itself. This is the non-duality of emptiness and appearance. When you grasp at the colour and you say it is red, perhaps a particularly intense red, it is as if there is something there. Something has been born. Something has come into separate, autonomous existence. Though, if you put a piece of board in between the window and the crystal, the coloured light will immediately cease. The coloured light is a showing, a movement of energy. You see red, you see orange, but they are not there. These are your concepts. This is the grasping mind. The grasping consolidates what is there, and in doing that, hides what is there. Meditation advice. So, the instruction for meditation is that when experiences, thoughts, and so on are arising, if you grasp at them as being something, this involvement will disguise from yourself what is actually there, which is a ceaseless display, unfolding, showing. Like light flowing, it is not a thing. It is like a river of experience. Therefore, we have the basic instruction. Don't go after past thoughts. Don't wait expectantly for future thoughts. Don't identify with the emerging thought. And don't hold yourself apart from it. When you are sitting in the practice, what arises in your mind is your mind. It is not definitive of its potential, but is precisely itself in the moment. So, whether we are sad or happy or angry, however the mind is, don't change it. It is just like light coming through the crystal. If you stay present with whatever is arising, it will vanish because it is movement. There is nothing substantial there. When you conceptualize, the addition of the thought to the appearance creates the illusion of something being there. The illusion is a form of experience. Something that is real for us because we believe in it. It is not that concepts are bad or wrong. We wouldn't be able to function in the world without them. But when we attach them to everything, there is a congealing, a thickening. This disguises the fact that thickening is also a form of movement. We look at the colour of the wall and we say that it's red. And we seem to arrive somewhere. Something's there. Well, something is there in that the light goes through the crystal onto the wall and is reflected from the wall to our eyes. But this is only a circle of movement. Our conclusion brings the experience into culture, into human conceptualization. But what is it in the nakedness, in its rawness, in its freshness? Concepts are like adding monosodium glutamate to food. They bring a particular kind of taste to everything. We end up with the taste of somethingness because of the additive. In the Buddhist tradition, the qualities of the fully enlightened Buddha are described as Dharmakaya, Sambhogakaya, and Nirmanakaya. The mind of the Buddha is referred to as Dharmakaya, which means that the presence of all potential, of all possible dharmas, are within the awareness of the Buddha. Sambhogakaya means that within this space, everything can be enjoyed. But how could you enjoy sadness? Well, sadness is an experience, a showing. When you see that it is the showing of the potential of the mind, that it is the form of radiance, then by staying with it, you have a particular patterning of resonances, flavors, and qualities. We often think of sadness as a state, but sadness is a movement. When we feel sad, the muscles on the shoulders and the neck usually go down a bit. We collapse a little bit into sadness. The diaphragm is a little tense. There is a constriction. This is something we can examine in ourselves. What happens to our posture, our gestures, our capacity for eye contact, our breathing? We are living sadness. Sadness is living through us. Then we have some happiness. We feel envious. These are all modes of experience, and all can be appreciated and enjoyed because of their unique specificity. Within Dharmakaya is equanimity. You are settled enough to be with what is arising. If we get very excited by the joy of one thing or the horror of another, then we are into desire and aversion, adopting and rejecting. Human beings have many different ways of avoiding being sad. Sadness is unpleasant. Why stay with it? But what is sadness in its phenomenal aspect? In its conceptual aspect, we all know that we don't like sadness, but when we position ourselves, starting from concepts, we don't go near the phenomenon, so we're not open to the phenomenon. In fact, that is the last thing you want to do. So, you are in aversion. How would you taste sadness? Well, the soup is in the bowl, but you don't want to eat it. It's horrible, but you didn't try it. You don't want to try it because you have decided that it is horrible. This is a regression to being 4 years old. Most of our life is structured in this way. We turn away from many of the potential experiences of life. And when you close yourself against the experience, you put up a barrier to the experience, and the experience opens its bag, takes out the spray can and sprays graffiti all over you, the mark of existence. So when you feel sad, lonely, or confused, don't merge into it and make it your identity, but appreciate it. It has a texture and it's coloured. Sour is the taste. We usually don't want to have too much sourness, although we may prefer that to bitter. But what is bitter? Bitter is not an abstract concept. It does something to you. What? It's horrible! That is a value judgment. It's bitter, and bitter is this. Sad is this. Loneliness is this. This is what we do in meditation. We try to remove the conceptual package from experience. Because the concept is both constructing a particular dimension to the experience and is providing the basis for apprehending the experience or taking hold of the experience. So, again and again, however the mind is, let the mind be as it is, and then observe how you enter into judgment, how you take up a position. This is good. I want more. This is not good. I want less. On an ordinary, dualistic level, this is a sign of your intelligence. However, from the non-dual point of view, this is the mark of ignorance, because judgment is blocking experience. It is also blocking enjoyment, because you don't know how to enjoy everything. The meaning of the Sambhogakaya is that everything is okay, and it can all be enjoyed. The name of the founding Buddha of Dzogchen is Kuntu Zangpo, always good, everything is good. This does not mean that you always have to choose horrible for what you would experience. It's not a heroic path. You're not striving to overcome your limitations. Bitter is bitter. If you really know what it is, that is what it is. Sad is sad. So, when sadness occurs, you experience the arising as a flow, moment by moment by moment. If you stay with the sadness, in the sadness, but not merged with the sadness, then sadness suffuses you in the way that the reflection suffused the mirror, and then it is gone. When you are really open to it, the paradox is that it doesn't leave a trace. This is very wonderful. In fact, the more you open to everything, the less marked you are, because the ego cannot open to everything. Only awareness can open to everything. By relaxing and opening, you make the invisible transition from being wrapped in self-identification to being present as open awareness. If you refine this in your meditation practice, then when you're with other people, you are connecting with them, and you can have the full experience of how they are. You are very clear that there is no one there to catch, but that we all have the capacity to reveal. When we are self-protected, we become inhibited, and thereby we become unavailable, and therefore we don't get what we need. But the more we're open to the revelation of ourselves and to receiving the full revelation of another, the more we have the vitality of contact. Life is contact. Our vitality can help other people to feel vital, and we can live without fear, without hope, just in the vitality of the moment. Then we experience directly the self-liberation of each moment. Of course, we can maintain our work, our family life. If we have that, we can develop and maintain a relationship. In fact, this will help us to do that, because we realize that we can never be complacent. We never feel that we've arrived someplace. If we think, now we're in a relationship, and I know you're going to be with me forever, so I don't need to worry about you so much, then, of course, it will get difficult. But if you see that you are always living in a moment of time, you can't fall asleep into the situation, because you want to be alive, you want to be present. And that can help the other person to be present, so you have co-presence. That is a pretty good way to live. If we are here with this, this is as good as it gets. Our brief time together comes to an end. Whatever merit there is from our study and practice together, we dedicate to all beings. Although it has been a short time, we have covered some of the main points of Dzogchen. This approach is helpful in its depth, it is helpful in its radiance, and it helps to make us more aware of our intrinsic connectivity. I hope you stay with the flavour of it and bring it into your lives. Teaching given in Warsaw over the 14th to 15th of December 2019. Edited by Barbara Terrace and James Lowe. From the book The Open Door of Emptiness by James Lowe. Recorded with minor editing for ease of listening by Wendy. May 2025.